cup of hot chocolate, cuddly blanket, sitting out on the front lawn, looking up at the sky. It's dark and it's brilliant. The stars twinkle and they strike my heart. Who lives up there? Is that where I'm from? Maybe a bit of me is from there. In front of me is the glorious sun of the night, the moon, and the radiant light that caresses the earth, rejuvenates, shifts, sparks, energy that we really don't even understand. Most of us are turned off. We don't go outside. Seldom do we actually go out and honor the night, honor the light that radiates from the center of the universe and brings itself to us and offers us an idea of maybe where we started, who we are. To understand that we all are made from the same thing, little speck of dust, the mineral that comes from the middle of the universe, all the mass, all the stars, all the space that we see can fit between your fingers. You see, the scientists know that the moon rings like a bell. It's hollow. So it must be up there ringing a lot because of all the energy waves, the sound waves, the radio programs, the TV shows, maybe all the big bits from the rocket ships that we've sent up to space. That moon must be up there just vibrating away. The interesting thing is, they know that there's a space in the middle of the Earth. There's a central diode, a mass, movement, radiation, heat. And around that, they believe, there's a hollow space. And you and I, and the plants, and the animals live on the outside edge of another ringing bell. The sound waves travel through us. The universe sends outside energy waves, and they travel through us. And we're basically vibrating all the time. We don't even know we are. And what allows us to vibrate? Is it our shape? Is it what we're made of? Is it exterior forces that come together to make our shape, our thought, and therefore control our actions? And maybe they actually use our interaction, like little spark plugs, to generate emotion or energy to support a world that we aren't even aware of. Hello, everybody. This is Patricia Cleveland, and welcome to ESOLOGIC Radio. I want to challenge how we think, shift a little bit. We're all being told how to do things, what knowledge we need to use. And very, very often we forget to go back to the very, very origins, the root of who we are, our interaction with nature, and our teachers, our animals, the plants, the things in nature that actually hold the coding, the shape, the mathematics, and the wisdom of our history, and how we should fit together to make a network of balanced, logical, healthy, harmonic life. Now, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to stir up your thoughts a bit. And if it actually resonates with you, follow through, do the research. Because somewhere out there, the information that I'm sharing with you has already been found. Someone is already talking about it. It just hasn't come into the physical. It hasn't made the mass consciousness. But it's there. And it wouldn't be given to me. It wouldn't be challenged channeled. It wouldn't be put into serendipitous excursions and excitements that come into my life without a reason. And I'm here to share those things with you to see if you can apply them in your life, maybe in your animal's life. And when we do that, our animals come closer to us and we become a little more aware, not of the human intellect, not of the human being, but the human soul, the thing that gives compassion, the thing that loves, and the thing that needs to be loved. So today's show is a little off the wall. We're going to bounce around a little bit because just like the ringing bell of the moon, I want you to start thinking about vibrations and energy flow and what is it that our bodies actually need to harmonize and interact with all the plants and the animals, the dog, the cat. And do these animals actually change their harmonics? Do they match us to fit into our space? I believe they do. I work as basically a person that rebirths animals. I'm the founder of a holy science of the horse called equilology. And it's not spelt as in the Holy Bible. It's spelt as the whole body. The holy science of the horse. I look at the whole body. I try to figure out all the systems and how to bring them into balance and equilibrium. And it's very interesting when you go back and you study language. Equilibrium comes from the word equine. And equine comes from the word equus. So equilibrium is ruled by the word equus. And that is the foundation of my knowledge, is coming from the horse. As we go through life, you know, we try to do the best we can with what we have to work with. And a lot of people these days are struggling with health issues. Our animals are struggling with health issues. Emotions, depression. Oh my gosh, everybody seems to be on some kind of antidepressant. Go into barns, I see horses standing in stalls and they're very detached, disassociated. Basically, their eyes do not sparkle with life. They're closed, half closed, slit, looking dull, foggy. They don't really care. They've given up. They can't get outside to breathe fresh air or have the sun run down their back and charge them up. They're left in the stall to eat what we give them. Our dog, oh, they bounce around and they're happy and they're full of joy and they love us. But they're sacrificing their energy. They're giving us their energy. Because they know we're struggling just as much as they are. And I think we all come from the same origins. We all hold stardust in our soul. For some reason, man thinks that his stardust is more important than the stardust of the dog. But it really isn't. It's just that the dog uses his energy, his field, differently than we do. The dog, because he radiates and vibrates in a different energy frequency, sees more things. And he may see things that we don't see. And we know things that he doesn't know. So when we work together to support each other, we have these amazing relationships. But the dog right now, like the cat, and like the horse, and like all the other pets we have, they're giving themselves up because they feel the imbalance in the human man. We do not understand what we are doing, both to ourselves, to our environments. into our planet, into our place in the whole universe. That's a pretty big statement. I've been looking around, trying to figure out why all of a sudden people go through depression. Why are people eating so much? In the United States, you can go to a restaurant and they put so much food on the plate. I look at it and I struggle to figure out how I'm supposed to eat it all. And then I'll turn and look at the people sitting at the table beside me, and their plates will be cleared. It will be gone. And they're fat. They're not very good. So, what should we do? Should we start looking? I don't know. It's all what we are being told, what we are being fed. It's all very interesting. So, here we go. If we're not eating good food, how do we function? And we've been talking about GMO foods. But I think there's a lot more going on behind GMO foods. I think that we have just been told a whole bunch of stories about oil shortage, food shortage, water shortage, money shortage. I don't know. Look at all the shortages we're going through. And yet there's such an abundance of life. The planet is not overcrowded. If you took all the people on this planet and divided all the square miles, you might have to put two people for every square mile on this planet. But that's a lot of room. And we could grow a lot of food. But we're not. And it tends to bring up some pretty curious agendas. We need water. Our bodies are made from water. And we need minerals. Because we are a harmonic electromagnetic, basically bodysuit. Our animals are electromagnetic bodysuits. And we all need the right balance of mineral so that we can radiate our energy and support who we are. Supporting each individual supports a vibrating state that holds the resonant value of this planet, of our interrelated space, our physical and our non-physical. So we are all important factors. And when we don't vibrate at the right frequencies, our world starts to fall apart. We become sick. Our animals become sick. So the minerals are the important thing, not the gas that goes in your car. Water, yes, water is very, very important. But gas and oil, no. Those are the things that need to stay in the soil and only be honored as sacred. They need to stay there. Minerals are the absolute requirement. Without the minerals, we don't vibrate. We can't conduct the energy flow from all the resonating shaking that comes towards us from the center of the universe. Our planet can't vibrate when she doesn't have the right minerals. And those minerals need to be in the right places. Because just like you and I, she's a living being. And she is electromagnetic as well. And she radiates energy just like you and I or the dog. And so when everything is out of balance, we start to see shifts. We see shifts, first of all, in our emotional states. There's a really wonderful website you can go to called Earth Pulse. And they talk about how different frequencies of energy impact how our brains work. And we get really stressed out. And we really can't cope when our minds are shaking at anywhere between 20 to 35 hertz. Now that means your brain will pulse, your cells in your body will pulse at anywhere between 20 times per second up to 35 times per second. That's a lot of pulsing. You didn't know you moved that much, right? So out there, when we're stressed, our bodies, our minds are being exposed to harmonics that are artificial. And they burn up this mineral because we shake too fast. We can't get back and ground ourselves. People that use a lot of cell phones, that run computers, that live in skyscrapers, big cities, will have these experiences where they'll feel really physically tight, stretched out. You can't really pull yourself together. Some of you will hear ringing in your ears. Some of you will just have voices that won't let you go to sleep at night. This is your harmonics. They're not resonating with the true value of your original body. They bounce between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, and they create a constant stress, an energy stress, because your body is trying to figure out how to fit into the energy waves that it's not really designed to fit into. And this takes us into the development of the artificial man. And there are groups of people, scientists, people with a lot of money, who are trying to shift us away from being natural. It's called transhumanism. And that's why it's so important to have a cell phone stuck to your ear. That's why it's so important to have Wi-Fi in your house. All of these things start to vibrate. And they start to change the harmonics of who you are. And the minerals are not in our food anymore. So we're not talking about a mineral shortage. But there is a mineral shortage. And whether it's been designed deliberately or not, I'll leave that up to you. But if it's not deliberate, if it's not preconceived, or if it's the best kept secret on the planet, it just all seems to be far too convenient as to why we actually have genetically modified food. Because the minerals in the genetically modified food are, number one, designed to create an acidic state or an unnatural state in our body. And that unnatural state falls into line with the stressful harmonics that we are being asked to live in this magnetic energy grid, microwave grid that seems to be becoming more important every day. It's so important that we're wrapping the Earth up with satellites that beam energy down and bounce it off what you hold in your hand. So, what's going on? Take a break. I'm going to let you think about that, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
Oh, I'm back. I got a little more energy. I've just been feeling kind of tired today. I just got off the road from a long trip out to Tulsa, Oklahoma to work with people of the land. And I have to tell you, they hold a stillness, a firmness about their presence. These are people that family-wise work the land. Their family history is that of the cowboy. And they work cattle. They ride horses. Their lives rotate, evolve, and extend, all based on their interaction, their relationship with the animals and the land that they are in stewardship of. It's very interesting. When I get to travel around, I see very subtle differences in people. But there is such a huge difference in the emotional ability to stay still, to be solid, to think on a grounded level. Not a frantic, oh my gosh, what just happened? How do I fix it? I don't know. I can't cope. I'm going to break down. I'm going to have an emotional outburst. All because I can't put air in a tire. No. These people stand still. And the closer people are to working with the land and to working with animals, I find that there's a depth inside, a heartfelt connection. Everything they do seems to vibrate with common sense. That's pretty special. And I have had the opportunity to be with people, Aboriginal people, and those who have stayed their traditional lifestyles. They have a very slow and very deep vibration to them. And when you look into the eyes of a person who lives totally naturally out in the outback of the Australian deserts, I was able to actually interact with one of these people for a very brief time because they really couldn't stand being in my presence. They perceive white people as basically vibrating like a disease, and they don't feel comfortable there. But when I was able to share space with this person, his stillness was profound. It was like he was standing in front of me, but he really wasn't there. It was almost like if I closed my eyes, he'd be gone. So there's something about the quality of how our bodies interact with the natural resources of the earth. And I can tell you it's the same thing with the animals. Now I travel with my dog, and she gets to meet dogs in the city, dogs in the country. And then she gets to come home and go, oh, peace and quiet, finally. But there are differences, and I watch her behavior. When she's in the city, she's like, oh, I don't understand why you vibrate so fast. I can't speak your language. I understand your body language, but really, really, do you have to shake and wag your tail all the time? Can you just sit still and take in what's going on around you? No, they can't. Because the dog is just like the human. He's in this magnetic field, this radio field, and he hasn't got the right vitamins and minerals to keep his body balanced and still. So they start spinning, just like people. You start spinning, you're emotionally out of control. You then become physically out of control. And then you become sick. And yet I can take her out to the countryside, and she runs with a pack of dogs she doesn't even know. Now, the same pack of dogs in the city would have been competitive and aggressive, and take her out with a pack of dogs in the country. And yeah, they have their, hi, I'm me and who are you, and I'm boss, and you think you're boss too? Okay, well, you can be boss one and I'll be boss two and we'll work together. And they create a pack and they work around each other and they make it happen. They become unified, a thinking whole. And I think at one time people used to be like that. And you see the difference out on the country, in the country, neighbors help neighbors. They're there. It's not about money. They're there for each other. and food. Food comes from the land. I had venison. I had fresh potatoes. It all came from a garden. And I could understand what was actually being provided to me because it helped me to stay healthy. Some very odd things are happening in our world. Autism is rampant. And I used to think autism was based on vaccines. Because you see, the children that we have today are being exposed to, like, I don't know, I think it's 120 vaccinations before they actually go to school. Now, my age, I think I actually had 10. So what's going on with our bodies that our immune systems need 120 vaccinations before we actually get to go to school? What's wrong with us? Are we becoming artificial? I think so. And maybe it's time we stop and we look at what's going on. I'll tell you a quick story about an encounter I had in Virginia. This was several years ago. I've never been around an autistic child. Never mind two. And I moved into this area to work. And I was introduced to this mother who had two autistic children. Now, she's not an energy worker. She's just a mother who loves her children. And she struggles every day because she has two boys. One's older than the other. And they go to school. They try to interact. And they do a good job. But they have a hard time. She has a hard time. So her children were coming home from being at school. And I was to be introduced. The first child was in the house already. And so I didn't know what to do because I tend to be a very big energy person. I'm very strong in my presence. And I thought, okay, I think I'll grow roots. I think I'll become a tree. Yes, I think I'll become a tree that's not tall. I think I'll bury my tree roots down into the ground and basically become a bush. But I have very deep roots to hide my strength and energy. So I did that. And then I went in the house. And this little boy peeked out around the chair just because he felt the energy presence of somebody in his house, somebody new. And I didn't make eye contact. I just kept talking to his mother. And the next thing you know, this little hand is put across the palm of mine. And I didn't look down and I didn't make contact. And I got my roots of my bush and I made them go even deeper into the earth. I felt like I was almost pulling the branches of this bush into the ground. So maybe I was going to become a weed or grass. And the little boy took his hand and he squeezed my hand. And I looked at him. And he smiled at me. And then he looked off. And so I looked off too. And then what I saw in that moment was like little lightning rods, little strands of lightning that spark in and out of this child's being. It was like half of him is in the body and half of him isn't. And his energy cords are interacting on all kinds of different frequencies and different folds of time and space. And I looked at the child again, and he didn't look at me this time. So I just stayed like the tree buried in the ground. And I sat down on this chair, and I listened to his mother continue her conversation about her horse. And as I sat down, the little boy shifted his energy, and I could feel his little lightning rods coming in and trying to touch my field, trying to feel me energetically. But he wasn't making eye contact, but he was making energetic contact. It was very interesting. And then, before I know it, he's sitting in my lap, and he's still holding my hand. And his brother came in from school. Now, he was a little older, and he was still an autistic child. And it was like the two brothers glanced at each other, but they really didn't make eye contact for very long. And I can see these little sparklers of energy connecting between the two and then bouncing off. It was like a visual dance of telepathic information. So I'm sitting there speaking, and I acknowledge the second boy as he walked in the house. And before I know it, he's sitting at my feet, and his mother has stopped talking, and I didn't understand why. She says, "This is highly unusual." She says, "Normally these boys would be hiding behind furniture or would be asking for me to hold them." She'd never seen her two sons migrate in to meet somebody totally new and not just stand there and look at them and nod and accept them, but actually physically come into my space and become interactive, holding my hand, touching my leg. Well, the conversation about business took us to looking for a saddle, and the saddle was their grandfather's saddle. It was down in the basement, so we had to go down clumpy set of wooden stairs. And mother asked if she could carry him, because normally he would want to be carried down the stairs. And I put him down on the ground, and I expected him to go to his mother. And he got very upset, and it was just like firecrackers going off all around him. I could see these lightning bursts going bam, bam, bam all around him. And I stood up, and I went to move towards the stairs, and he came running to me, and he held my leg so I couldn't go anywhere. I was like, okay, I don't know quite what's happening. So I looked down, and he took my hand, and he pointed up, and I asked him, I opened my arms, and I asked him if he wanted me to pick him up, and he did. And so he and I bonded energetically, and we went down the stairs. And we did business. We looked at the saddle, and we heard the stories of the grandfather. And the second son came down the stairs on his own. But for once, his mother got relief because he didn't migrate to her. Both children stayed in this neutral, very deeply grounded energy field I had created. That was my first experience with autistic children. And it led me to understand that they don't have the energetic ability to stay grounded in our frequencies, in our physical form. And as we struggle to find the answer to how to help these kids stay connected in this reality, it dawned on me that the incidence of autism is in direct relationship again to the development of genetically modified food. And genetically modified food, as we all know, carries the marker of Roundup, which is glycol phosphate, which is really toxic stuff. And they lack all the mineral coatings. So when you're eating your cereal, and it's got genetically modified wheat and corn in it, maybe you're altering your state as a person that bears children, so that your energy frequency, your ability to hold a balanced pH level, is transferred into the blood system of your child. And perhaps that energy system basically blocks or does not allow the complete acceptance of the energy body into the physical. And that's why I was seeing these streamers of lightning. It was just like, I don't know, if you had like one of those Tesla coils at the science fair sparking lightning rods out all over the place. That's what it looks like to me. And for the child to move in and energetically be aware enough that I had buried myself as far down as I could go to become as still as I could be, and this child absolutely love to be in my presence causes me to really look at life a little differently. And this is where I start to see repetitions. And it all seems to go around the harmonic values of our body and what we do or don't do, what we're aware of or what we're led away so we aren't aware of, all the things in our lives. Now, you may be sitting there going, oh, well, all that's good. I'll just take a vitamin pill. Please do. But the other thing I think we should be looking at is how we honor ourselves as energy beings. Because, you see, we vibrate and we pray and we meditate and we're doing all this energetic stuff. And most of it goes off planet. It goes over to, I don't know, the Palladians. It goes over to people on Mars. It goes to God. It goes where? Where? Where is our energy going? And what are they doing with it? And do we have a responsibility to the creative thing that gives us air and water and a space to be? Do we have a responsibility to hold our harmonics together and complete the network of being on this planet, in this space, at this time? Well, I think there's something there to look at, because we all talk about parasites and emotional vampirism. Could there be spiritual vampirism? Absolutely. Is there a drive to take us away from the land? Absolutely. Is there an agenda to remove animals from the daily lives of people? Absolutely. I'll be back in a few minutes. Go get a drink. Don't forget to come back. I got to finish this conversation.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
Where is all our energy going? And who's controlling the mineral? And what's going on with our animals? And what happens? How can we help this? What can we do? A lot of really profound questions. And it depends on what level you work. Do you work in legislature? Do you work on the land? Do you have a job that just doesn't really connect to any of these things, but you're an energy-aware person? We all play a part in this. And we all have something to do or say, because you see, each one of us is like a little sparkler, a little spark plug. And if enough spark plugs start to spark at the same rate, that means that we wake up and we start to see what's going on behind all these, I'm going to say, superficial agendas, because I don't think they're man-made agendas. I don't think man is designed to self-destruct himself. I don't think he's designed to destroy his world. I think that there's off-world agendas going on, energetic agendas, however you want to look at it. I don't think we're meant to operate the way we're asked to. I don't think it's human. And that brings us back to transhumanism. And you can look that up. That's a whole scary subject. And that is coming into reality, where computers think of man as man. You can thank your iPhone for that. All those people out there developing programs to make it easier to, I don't know, pick a song off the radio, or move money from one bank to another, or take a picture, or make pictures look funny. People sit at home. And they find that they want to take and make a program to make life easier so that they can live on the iPhone or the internet or the smartphone or whatever. And then they sell those programs. And who do they sell them to? Some big corporation. And eventually, all of these little programs will sum up how a human thinks. And all these programs will be put together. And you're going to end up with a computer who knows and understands exactly who you are and what you think. And the other thing will be is that the environment will be so driven by electronic frequency that you will disengage, and some have already started to disengage from taking their shoes off and feeling the grass under their feet. Their chemical structure will change. They will be acidic. They will burn out faster. They will lose the ability to reproduce and have a family. They will lose the connection with nature. People are taught to be afraid of bacteria. Clean your kitchen. Make it perfectly clean. Raise your child in a sterile environment. Why? So that he can go out and have 120 vaccines before he goes to school? Let your child go out and play and get dirty and have a cut. You can deal with it. His body can deal with it. Our energy is based on minerals and water and the internal mechanism of who we are. And when we need to balance ourselves, we need to look at the mineral in our food. Genetically modified food falls into a preordained plan to disconnect us from our true resonant value as energetic beings. It's a pretty big plan, and it's taken a long time. And whoever thought it up has a life cycle that isn't like 100 years or 200 years. We're talking about knowledgeable beings that live for millennium. And we're just the cattle being herded up. Our energy is being separated into groups. And our mineral content is being controlled. And I think that we need to wake up to that. So the next time somebody talks to you about an oil shortage and the price of gas, turn around and ask them about the mineral shortage that's going on. The native people already know that the earth will lose her harmonic value and go into a surge of cleanse when her mineral content is not balanced. So when you cut down all the trees and you put it into a house, she loses the ability to regenerate the mineral from that tree. And when you dig a hole for coal, or you mine copper, or all these other things that we do, we are very blindly and very innocently dismantling the Earth's natural harmonic field. So we do have the ability to have minerals in our diet. We do have the ability to stay healthy. And it is all based, in my opinion, on how you choose to vibrate or resonate, or the environment that you choose or have to work in, how you manage it. You can put a pendant on. You can use a crystal. These things are known to take away or break down the energy field, the vibration that's trying to get you to get stressed out. And maybe when you do get stressed out, recognize it and become like me and bury yourself in the ground and just get your brain to stop thinking in circles. Stop listening to the drama of what's going on and just learn to be still. If you can be still in your heart, your mind will slow down and you'll be able to see the answer without being emotionally involved. Because when you get emotionally involved, you start to play into the discharge of who you are. You're throwing your energy away. You're burning up your mineral content. You're wearing out the crystal of your body. So when you wake up in the morning, maybe you should do meditation. Maybe you should do a prayer for yourself. Maybe you should reach out and thank whoever you thank for being who you are. But then turn your third eye in and look at who you are and what you're being asked to become. And then thank yourself for being who you are and the energy that you bring to this world through every action, every thought, and every breath. Slow your animals down. They don't have to be out there running around, doing everything. They don't have to go out and become super dog. They don't have to be the cat that takes on the human trait. They're cats. They're dogs. Let them interact with each other. Let them play. Find organic food sources for your animals. Dog bones are really, really great. Raw soup bones, beef bones, chicken wings. Yes, all of those things. Your dog will find its natural source of mineral in those things. And you'll feed it to them in the first couple of days. Your dog will not like it. It will be sick. It will eat it. It will regurgitate. And it will either decide to go back and eat it again or not. If he doesn't go back to eat it again, that tells you how chemically imbalanced your dog is. And there are people out there that work in natural dog food, gut balancing. Go online, find them. Start to bring balance back into the animals you live with. What will happen is you will become better balanced. They will be able to ground and hold your space. And when they ground and hold space in front of you, you're able to ground and find a place inside yourself that maybe you've never reached before. And maybe that's where you need to start looking. Because a lot of us are looking outside, we're looking at the stars, we're wondering how this all happened. How did we get here? How do we create this? How do we fix that? And it's all external. We, within ourselves, are amazing creatures. We hold the answer to every problem ever created. And we don't look inside. We don't look at our natural resources for answers. We pick up the smartphone and we push a button and we're on the internet. And yes, there's some amazing stuff out there. And it's good to learn. But it's also good to take a blanket out to the front yard and lay on the grass and look at the moon and wonder what's really going on. Are we being manipulated? Are we being led? Because you see, if your body isn't balanced and your brain isn't balanced and you're living in a field of scattered harmonic energy produced by artificial machines, your emotional state becomes controlled. You become controlled. The flash rate of commercials on TV, in print, the thought of maybe what you should be doing. Or maybe what you should socially accept. Right now in the United States, it seems that, from 7 until 8 o'clock at night, everything's really ha-ha funny. And then after that, it gets into murder and blood and gore and death and dismemberment. Negative, negative, negative. And people sit there every day and take it in and reprogram who they are, because their brains are not balanced, because they aren't able to get healthy food. So get up. Do something. Say something. You have a voice. Be political. Put labels on food that doesn't have modified food, or label modified food, however you choose to do it. Find organic farmers. Support them. Find holistic vets. Support them. It's not a game anymore. Really. I stand still and I watch a lot, but nature is always here. Nature has a way of taking care of herself. The earth has been here longer than you and I, and she has the wisdom of knowing what to do. And when the animals become sick and unhealthy, they die. And when they die, what happens? The energy, the soul, goes somewhere. And maybe there's something out there with a dream catcher that's waiting to catch you in your dreams. I don't know. But all I can say is people that are close to the land are mentally balanced. And people that work and thrive in large cities are running in stress. They think on a higher level. They may be smarter. But in reality, they are slowly detaching from the world that we are originally designed to live in. And that world is still here. So don't be afraid. Bless yourself. Bless every essence of mineral that's in your body. Every essence that holds your cells together. Think slow. Breathe slow. And be complete in who you are. Gotta go for now. I think it's time for me to go and make myself a nice drink of honey and water and get my throat feeling a little bit better. Until next time, this is Patricia Cleveland, Isologic Radio. Stay tuned. You can find me at bphcleveland.com. bphcleveland@gmail.com. And also, you can find me at the Balanced Horse Project.net. Until next time. Bye. It can happen to you.